Greetings, this is Perry Stone. Welcome to the Manifest Telecast. I'm going to do something a little different. This is the last week that we're going to offer our Awaken America conference. But I wanted to add this. This is a teaching called The Controversy of the Tribulation. There's so much on YouTube channels and so much on social media of this real huge controversy about we are in the tribulation. Are we in the tribulation? So many things that are confusing people. I taped this in Israel. This was a really powerful message. So my hair will be black. You'll know that when you see the black hair. It's taped in Israel. But you guys love the taping from Israel anyway. So I want you to watch this and pay careful attention to the teaching. When I come back, I have something to share with you. And so please don't cut it off after you hear the message and go to something else. Keep watching because there's always important information of where we're going to be or conferences coming up. So let's go right into the program in Israel right now. I want to welcome our worldwide audience of the Manifest Telecast. You probably know where I am if you look directly behind me. When you come to the Holy Land, which we are in Israel now, we're at the city of Jerusalem, the outskirts of Jerusalem. But after coming here for 38 years, and the Manifest Telecast has been on for about 16 years, then there's only so many places that you can tape and use it for a background. These are some of my favorite places. So this is a brand new program, and I always try to identify our brand new programs by wearing outfits that I have not worn before. So this is a new shirt if you're interested in that, which you're probably not. But this is a new teaching, and I want to deal with the subject of the tribulation controversy. We're in a situation right now where in the evangelical community, there is a difference of opinion on certain theological words or statements or phrases or prophecies that are found in the Bible. For example, we talk about the rapture and the second coming of the Lord and identify two different time frames. One is very secretive. One, the men don't know the day or the hour, and the other occurs definitely at the end of the tribulation period when Jesus comes back to rule and reign on earth. Now, just so you'll know where I'm standing at, directly behind me, I mean right behind me, is the Mount of Olives. And this is the mountain that Zechariah predicted in Zechariah chapter 14 that the Lord would return to. And the moment his feet touched the mountain, the mountain was split in two parts, one part to the east and one part to the west. And there is, by the way, an area of the Mount of Olives, and you can't see it from this direction as well, but if you go on top where you see almost no buildings whatsoever because there is an earthquake fault line that has been discovered that does run on top of the Mount of Olives. Now, when we talk about the rapture, there are people who believe in it. There are people who do not. When we talk about the second coming of the Lord, there are most evangelical Christians believe in that, but there are some people, believe it or not, that don't even believe the Lord's going to come back again. They believe that we're just somehow going to set up some kind of a utopia on the earth for 1,000 years. And, you know, we're going to rule on this planet just as it is and make it a better place. Then there is another different concept about the time called tribulation. Now, if you have read the novels and the books and the prophetic books that have been written, probably since Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, it was a very popular book that actually made Bible prophecy known in my generation, then you will know that there is a word called tribulation that is used in the New Testament. It's also used in the Old Testament as well that deals with a time at the end of the age. Now, here's the thing I want to tell you that a lot of you may not be aware of, that in the circles of Christianity, there is a big difference of opinions on what is the tribulation. Is there a tribulation? And if there is, how long is it? For example, I have on this piece of paper, I've listed five Christian theories, and I want to give those to you now. And these are theories that are held by Christians around the world, these different theories by Christians around the world. Number one, that the tribulation is past. These are called preterists. There are people that believe that from 66 AD to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, that was the time of tribulation, and it was specifically for the Jews and for the nation of Israel. Israel, and then the nation of Israel was ceased to exist. The city of Jerusalem was completely destroyed, and the Jews were scattered. So they say that was the fulfillment of that time frame known as the tribulation. Now, here's a second theory. There's a second theory that says that tribulation is simply physical persecution that has occurred to Christians throughout history. Now, we do know there has been persecution throughout history, but however, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In that biblical reference, he is not talking about the great tribulation at the end of the age. He is talking about trials and tribulations that are a part of the Christian life. So we have to separate the meaning of the trials and tribulations that believers go through and the tribulation that is predicted, called the great tribulation, in Matthew chapter 24. Now, the third meaning of a tribulation, let me say, or theory that is given, is that the tribulation was the seven-year Holocaust that the Jewish people went through from about 1939 to 1945. Now, there was a seven-year time frame in which the Jewish people suffered, and over 6 million, 6 million of them perished in the terrible Holocaust. And some people try to say that was a fulfillment of the 7 year tribulation period that Jesus spoke about. That was a type of tribulation for the Jewish people, but it is not the tribulation alluded to at the end of the age. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a few moments. Now, here's another theory about the tribulation, that the tribulation is not a seven-year time frame, but it is only a time, times, and dividing of time, or 3.5 years or 42 months, and that's as long as the tribulation is going to last. And there are many people who believe or espouse that particular theory. However, in Daniel 9:27, there is a covenant which is made for 1 week or one period of 7 years. And when you come into the book of Revelation, it's divided up into 42 months and 42 months. 42 months for the first half, 42 months for the second half, 1,260 days for the first half, then 1,260 days for the second half, or it's divided into 3.5 years and 3.5 years. And all of those, time, and dividing of time, 42 months, 1,260 days, 3.5 years, it's all the same. It's speaking about the same time frame. So in the basic understanding of the time of the end, it's divided up into a last 7 year time frame, and that time frame is then separated by a first half and a second half. The first half is great tribulation, the second half is the greater tribulation, and it is in the middle of the 7 years that the Antichrist will invade the city of Jerusalem, and he will literally divide the city. Now, the Bible tells us that the city will be divided in half, and if I'm standing here and I'm overlooking, this is the Temple Mount, the wall, there's the Dome of the Rock. Everything on this side was Israel before 1967. Everything you're looking at on this side was the country of Jordan. So when the Antichrist invades Israel in the tribulation period, the Bible says in Zechariah 14 that half the city will go into captivity, and the half that will go into captivity will be the Jewish side and the Christian side, which is today called the Christian side, which is this part of the city. And this will be in, again, the time of tribulation, Revelation chapter 11, the death of the two witnesses will take place. In fact, let me just, instead of jumping ahead into that, let me kind of stay on this theme. I'm notorious for going on rabbit trails and going from, you know, from one theme right to the other. So let me explain to you why we believe, and I believe, and many such as myself believe, that we have not yet entered into the tribulation period. Now, I know that there are people, and these are good people, by the way. These are people who really love the Lord. There are people who, they study the Word, and they have their interpretation set this way. But there are people that believe somehow that some of the seals have been broken in the book of Revelation, or they believe that we are in the early stages of it. And honestly, if you really look at the early part of the book of Revelation, which is called in Greek the Apocalypse, which deals with the tribulation period starting there in chapter 6 all the way to chapter 19, which is the end of the 7 year tribulation period. But if you look at the scriptures as to what will happen in the tribulation, then this is how you know we are not yet in the time of the tribulation. So let me give you 5 reasons why the tribulation has not yet begun. Reason number 1, in Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, there is a mountain burning with fire that destroys 1/3 of the grass, the trees, and the ships. This mountain burning with fire appears to be a volcano of some type, like a volcanic eruption that is a major eruption that would affect grass, trees, and of course the shipping because of the acidity in the water and the volcanic ash, etc. That has not yet happened. Then in Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 through 12, there is a star that falls from heaven. And that word used in the book of Revelation is aster, which is the Greek word where we get the word asteroid from. So there is an asteroid that falls on the earth. And again, this causes great damage and devastation. That has not yet happened. We constantly hear about from NASA asteroids that are coming toward the earth, that come very close to the earth. And I say very close, I mean millions of miles away, but yet to us it would be close. So that has not yet happened. Number three, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 24, and also this is found in Daniel chapter 7, is the Antichrist will have to come with 10 kings. And all these 10 kings rule at one time. Now, there are people who believe in what we call the historical interpretation of the book of Revelation, and they teach that beginning with Nero, all the way to the time of Constantine the Great, who legalized Christianity, that there were 10 Roman emperors that persecuted Christianity, and those are the 10 kings mentioned in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. That cannot be possible, because if you go to the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, those 10 kings have to rule all at the same time and give their kingdom to the Antichrist in 1 hour based on Revelation 17. So the 10 kings, let me go back, the 10 emperors, Roman emperors, that persecuted Christianity during 10 persecutions over a period of several hundred years, was not the 10 kings mentioned in the book of Daniel, neither the book of Revelation, as those 10 kings must come in the future. Now, because they have not come with the Antichrist, we cannot be at this point of time in the tribulation at all. I mean, let me go to number four, and we'll elaborate more on that. Now, number four is this, that the two witnesses must come to Jerusalem, and one of them, based on Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, is the prophet Elijah. The Bible says, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord, who will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, when we take the last part of the book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, and we compare it to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, we discover that the Lord speaks to John about two witnesses, and their symbolism is two olive trees and two candlesticks, and they come with a great anointing to the city of Jerusalem, and they minister and prophesy for a period of 42 months. Now, this 42 months would be the first 42 months of the Great Tribulation period, and then they are killed in the middle of the tribulation period when the Antichrist invades Jerusalem and takes over the Temple Mount and also all of Jerusalem. And so this has not yet happened, and I want to make that clear. Elijah has not appeared. Now, we get some humorous letters sometime and emails, and we hear from people sometimes, and bless their heart, they're men that are incarcerated sometimes in prison, and they say, I am the prophet Elijah, and I am one of the two witnesses. And we get other people who say that God has told them that they're going to go to Jerusalem, and they say, God told me to tell you to, I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem, and you're supposed to provide my way to get there, and I'm one of the two witnesses. Well, I hate to disappoint anybody watching me right now, but you are not Enoch, you are not Elijah, and you are not Moses. You may have the name Enoch, Elijah, and Moses, but you are not one of the two witnesses. The two witnesses, according to the early church fathers, and there are three of them that wrote about the two witnesses specifically, one of them is going to be Elijah the prophet, who has never died, who in 2 Kings chapter 2 was translated alive into heaven, and this man who was translated alive into heaven will one day return again as one of the two witnesses. We know he's one. I believe that Enoch is the second one, because Enoch was translated that he should not see death in the book of Genesis, and also in the book of Hebrews it mentioned that Enoch walked with God and was not, for he was translated. And then we read in the book of Jude that Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam, prophesied saying that the Lord was going to come back with 10,000 of his saints. So Enoch was a prophet, the seventh from Adam, who was translated alive after 365 years of living on earth. And he and Elijah will be the two witnesses. At least that's what we know. Elijah is one. And based on evidence, we believe Enoch is the second, because these are the only two men that have ever lived that have never seen seen death, and the Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So these two witnesses, as they're called in the 11th chapter of Revelation, have not yet prophesied on the earth. There's nowhere in history where they've come. There's nowhere in history they've ever appeared. And they can't appear. They cannot appear in New York, in Washington, D.C. They have to appear in the city of Jerusalem here. They have to appear here. And they also are involved, and we won't teach this today because it's too detailed, but they're also involved in the rebuilding of a temple that will one day be in this area in the city of Jerusalem, that the Antichrist, of course, will defile that temple based on Daniel chapter 9, 2 Thessalonians 2, Matthew 24, verse 15. Whew, I tell you what, we're getting a lot of word in today on the telecast, and I hope you're following me here. Now, the other reason we said there would be five that we know that we are not yet in the tribulation period is because in Revelation chapter 12, Michael the archangel will cast Satan out of the area of the second heaven and cast him to the earth, and he will for 42 months literally dominate this planet. And it will be a time of trouble such as there was not since there was a nation, nor ever shall be. And Jesus even alluded to the fact that unless the days would be shortened, that no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, he would cause those days of tribulation to be shortened. So the fact that Satan has not yet been cast down to the planet with his angels, the fact that the Antichrist has not been revealed, and 2 Thessalonians 2 says that the Antichrist has to be revealed in his time. There's a specific time frame set aside for this man to be revealed. It's not happened yet because the restraining force is still presently on the earth. The Holy Spirit, through the church, is still on the planet, and the gospel is still being preached around the world, and the gospel, according to the Bible, must be preached around the world, and then the end would come. So there are, in the New Testament, different meanings of the word tribulation. For example, in Matthew 13, 21, there is tribulation that you experience because of the level of the word of God that you believe. And then in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, there is a physical abuse or persecution because you are a Christian, which is classified a time of tribulation, personal trial or personal distress, anguish, or pressure. That's the meaning of the Greek word tribulation, the common meaning, I should say. In Matthew 24 and verse 21, there is tribulation that will come at the end of the age that will produce the wrath of God on the earth. And then, of course, there's tribulation of which a trial that God can allow to happen, actually in bringing judgment on an individual. And you can read that in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 22, where it talked about there was a woman called Jezebel that the Lord said that he would, if she did not repent, he would cause her to fall into great tribulation. Now, in the Old Testament, the tribulation period was known by the prophets of the Old Testament. For example, in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 3, it talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble was this. He worked for 7 years to get the wife he wanted and got the wrong one and had to go and work another 7 years to get the wife that he desired. So that is known in rabbinical Judaism as Jacob's trouble. So Jacob's trouble was 7 years in length, just like the tribulation is going to also be 7 years in length. Then we go to Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 10. The tribulation is called the day of vengeance. And that word vengeance in Hebrew means a day of retaliation, a day of revenge. And the Lord takes vengeance on his enemies, the enemies of truth, the enemies of righteousness during that time frame. Isaiah 13 and 13, it is also called the wrath of the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, wrath, the word wrath, is mentioned in some form about 155 times, and you have to look at the context of that particular verse to determine the meaning of the word wrath. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 14, is the tribulation is called the great day of the Lord. And by the way, the great day of the Lord is mentioned 26 times in the Bible. And that great day of the Lord is, again, according to most scholars, a reference to the time that we know as the Great Tribulation. Now, let me just read some verses to you very quickly. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. It hastens greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord of the and the mighty men shall cry bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of waste, of desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Now, when you talk about the tribulation, people say, that's a very negative message. Well, go to Zephaniah chapter 1, 14 and 15 and read his definition, it is very negative. It is a day of great distress and a day of great trouble, to say the least. Now, in Isaiah chapter 13, I want to read this to you. Behold, the day of Jehovah cometh, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the landscape a desolation, to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth. The moon shall not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man than the pure gold of Ophir. I will make the heavens and the earth to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place. Look at this. Now, this is the tribulation. This is the time of God's wrath. In the wrath of Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger. So here's five things we get from these verses. Number one, it is the day of the wrath of the Lamb, Revelation 6:16. The tribulation is also called the day of God's wrath, Revelation 14:19. It is called in Isaiah chapter 61, the day of God's vengeance. It is a time when judgment comes to the nations. It is a time, according to Isaiah that we just read in chapter 13, where God destroys the sinners out off of the earth. Chapter 11, verse 18. I get in a hurry here and get my verses twisted around. He destroys those who are destroying the earth. Revelation 6 and 10, in the tribulation, God judges those who have killed and martyred the righteous. He avenges their blood. But let me just say something to you, if I may, because there's a lot of discussion going on now about, will the church go through the first part of the tribulation? Will they escape in the middle? Will they escape at the end? I want to read these promises to you from the Word of God. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 2 says this: God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves his wrath for his enemies. John 3:36, he that believeth not on the Son, then the wrath of God abideth on him. Romans chapter 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so we're running out of time here, but in reality, you can go to the scriptures in the New Testament, and you can show, and we can show you that the wrath of God is not reserved for the church. It is not reserved for the godly. It's not reserved for the righteous. The wrath of God in Romans chapter 1 is revealed from heaven against the ungodly and the unrighteous. Therefore, the tribulation period has nothing to do with the purification of the church. Believers are purified through the blood of Jesus Christ and through their repentance. They are made clean through the blood of Christ, and their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. The tribulation period is to judge the earth for its unrighteousness, to judge the earth for martyring righteous souls, to judge the earth for its iniquity, and that day is being reserved. It's like the Bible talks about how the cup of God's wrath is being stored up in the winepress of the wrath of God. So I hope my teaching here from Jerusalem today concerning some of the controversy about the tribulation has helped you and has helped inspire you, made you, you know, to think about some things. And of course, we've always had some great teaching on the subject of the time of the end and Bible prophecy, which, you know, this is one of my favorite subjects. It's not all I preach, it's not all I teach, but it is definitely one of my favorite subjects. So we're getting ready to have our tour group come in, and we're looking forward to having them here. You'll be seeing some programs with them in the days ahead. I have something very unique to offer today on Manifest, so stay tuned. I want to present to you the most anticipated ministry gathering all year long, the Awaken America Summit, featuring myself, Mario Morello, Lance Walnut, Joseph C., and Jensen Franklin. In my first message, you will discover the American Babylonian Antichrist cipher and how this ancient spirit is wreaking havoc on American politics and culture. In my second message, learn how angels and demons battle every 4 years for the destiny and soul of America before our election cycles. You must see the Hebraic letters, symbols, and numbers in the powerful message that exposes the prophetic mystery of the near assassination of President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, along with other amazing prophetic parallels. My fourth message was Heaven, Departed Loved Ones, and Death Mysteries, revealing new information and explaining how many mysteries seldom taught by pastors, including new information on what happens 2 or 4 minutes after the death of a person occurs. This is a very unique message. Now, I want you to experience the same excitement of the attendees when hearing and seeing Joseph Zeke explain the last day's apocalyptic foresight that he gave us in his revelation. Just a powerful message. This was followed by Mario Morello's explosive manifesto called It's Our Time Now. Jensen Franklin electrified the assembly of the saints when explaining how you must create your own worship to survive Satan's attacks. Lance Wallnau then followed up with his famous whiteboard and taught on the anointing required to defeat the systems of this world. These unedited, now remember, they're unedited. You get them as they were preached. These 8 messages provide over 8 hours of exposés with powerful prophetic insight and practical teaching that will inspire, enlighten, and prepare, and also strengthen you for these last days. The CDs are the audio messages. The DVDs have the message and the pictures, the charts, and also important visual insights. These 8 messages are also available on audio flash drive for your car and also for your home computers. To order your 8 CD set, request offer 24 ME CD for a donation of $55 or more. To receive the 8 DVDs, use offer number 24 ME DVD for a donation of $95 or more. You can select the USB flash drive with the 8 messages by requesting offer number 24 ME USB for a donation of $55 or more. Call 1-888-21-BREAD or go online at perrystone.org. But you can also send a check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request the CDs, DVDs, or USB drive. We are looking forward to hearing from you. As far as we know, this will be the last opportunity for you to get this set of either CDs, DVDs, or flash drive of the Awaken America meeting. And you have been seeing different excerpts of that recently, and I appreciate you that have ordered it, and we're getting great comments back from that. Now, coming up in the weeks ahead, I taught a 8-week series. I think it's between 6 to 8 special messages coming out on Manifest, and these are very special. Because of something that happened to me this year, I had to write a book. I was so grieving and so sorrowful about the death of my very dear cousin, age 63, that was killed in an automobile accident. I had so many questions I was asking the Lord. And then I started thinking about people that we knew personally that were in their 20s and 30s that we felt like had experienced a premature death. Because a lot of times people will say, and it's true at times, well, this was their time to go if they went. But then Ecclesiastes says, why should you die before your time? And he tells you reasons why you die before your time. And so I wrote a book called The Mystery of Premature Death, and that book is supposed to be released, the Lord willing. It might be delayed 1 week, but it's supposed to be released next week. Don't order it now or ask for it now until you see it advertised. And then I also have a special audio CD that comes with the offer. And we put a special photo section in there, a huge photo section, color photos, to honor the memory of someone that was very dear to me that, as I said, was killed in an automobile accident, was hit, T-boned actually, by a guy carrying cows, 9 cows, and there wasn't any evidence that he even put on his brakes until he hit her, ran a red light. And so I just want you to remember that and keep that in mind. Now, 2 things. I want you to get ready and mark your calendar, because January starts the registration for Warrior Fest the end of March. All the youth leaders, all the youth groups, all the parents that have kids that you want to bring, get ready for the registration on the internet for Warrior Fest the end of March, Friday, all day Saturday, Sunday morning, and then starting Wednesday night, the very end of April, all day Thursday, all day Friday, and Sunday morning is the International Prophetic Summit, and it is going to be off the chain. Those of you that couldn't come because of the floods, you're going to get to come this year in the spring. So be looking for those coming up in the future. God bless you.